Thanks. We do have a good time. We mix in a little bit of sightseeing in between places we go to, and we have the same type of sense of humor, I think, so it works out well. DA, I need a volunteer. I have to tell you, though, I do need a volunteer, and it's going to be a little bit strenuous. Maybe by the end of the evening, it might get to be quite a bit strenuous. That's why I want a big, strapping young man to come forward, if you wouldn't mind. And I'll tell you why here in just a minute. First thing I want to do is I want to welcome everybody in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to give a couple definitions before I really get started here, and one of them is for Savior. It's one who saves, a deliverer. And I'd like to give another one. It's remission, as in remission of sins, as freedom, pardon, deliverance, forgiveness, liberty. Let's read Luke. Out of the second chapter of Luke for a second. It's the story of the birth of Jesus. And as you all know, that Joseph and Mary had to go pay taxes. And they couldn't find any room in the inn, and so they were in a stable, and Mary gave birth. And in verse 8, it says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring unto you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Christ the Lord is our Savior. Now, read just a little bit out of the first chapter of Matthew, just to set the stage. And it's about Jesus' birth. It says, the 19th verse of the first chapter of Matthew. "Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." A Savior. And it says it'll save his people. And it'll save them from what? It'll save them from their sins. Then we go back over to the fourth chapter of Luke. And I'll start at verse 16. This is after Jesus had been tempted and he's starting his ministry. "And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering sight to the blind, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." That's Jesus' own words, and that's what he came to do. And then Matthew in the 26th chapter. I'll start at the 27th verse. And this is when Jesus is in the upper room with his disciples, and they were partaking of the Passover, and after they were done with that. In the 26th verse, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins.'" Another reason he came. He shed his blood for many for the remission of sins. D.A., why don't you walk on up here?
That's it.
I got to tell you, this isn't going to be fun.
This is your coat. It ain't going to hurt you.
Haven't even put the coat on because I'm going to put some chains on him, and the chains that I have are kind of rusty, and I don't want him to get his clothes dirty, and so the coat really doesn't have a whole lot to do with anything. I just go ahead and stay there. Just stand out there and hold your arms out there as long as you can. And what these chains are representing, actually, is sin and how they bind us down. And the weight gets heavy at times. And he's probably going to get fairly hot in that coat. But if you think about it, Satan turns up the heat on you sometimes. Especially when you're bound down with sin and it gets heavy and it weighs you down. Just a... I'll let you know when you're done.
I'll probably not.
Now it's your all's turn. I'm going to start out, but I want you to name sins. I'm going to write up here a couple of them just to get things started. If I spell it wrong, just go ahead and laugh. Okay, we got adultery, and I'm right up here. Fornication also. As far as I'm concerned, fornication is pornography. If you don't think so, look the word up, fornication, in the Strong's. And you'll know right off why fornication is the same as pornography. Give me a sin, somebody. Is that right? Give me another one.
Pride.
How about another one? Gossip.
Stealing.
Is that right?
Yes, we're laughing at him.
Oh, you getting heavy over there? Getting weighed down by sin? Okay, go ahead and let him lower a little bit. Don't take it off yet. I'm not done. I got several scriptures.
Rumors.
What else we got?
Hate.
I heard envy. Doing bad, am I? What else? Somebody else? Any more you can think of?
Jealousy.
Jealousy.
False? Yeah. Testing me.
Evil thinking.
Uh-oh, I hear the chains rattling.
Murder of the innocent.
Shedding innocent blood, how's that? Somebody else said something like, I think it was Darren's young man, but I can't. I'm sorry.
Rude.
Okay, we'll write that up there. I need all we can get. Oh, somebody else said something. I didn't hear it.
Reveling.
Close enough. That ought to do it. Looks like a mess, doesn't it? And know what sin does to your life? Make a mess out of it? Weighs you down? Getting hot? I'll give you some relief here in a minute. I figured you could take it. Eighth chapter of John. Actually, I needed to do this. I figured on a day like today, y'all would be falling asleep on me, and boy, I sure didn't want that. Eighth chapter of John, 2 verses. Verse 31 and 32. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Let's go to the Book of Mormon, page 86. And I'll start at verse 115 and read through 125. It's the second Nephi, first chapter, verse 115. I hope you're keeping track of the other verses I used. Adam fell that men might be, and men are that they might have joy. And the Messiah cometh in the fullness of time, that he might redeem the children of men from the fall. And because that they are redeemed from the fall, they have become free forever, knowing good from evil, to act for themselves, not to be acted upon, save it be by the punishment of the Lord at the great and last day, according to the commandments which God hath given. Wherefore, men are free according to the flesh, and all things are given them which are expedient unto man. And they are free to choose liberty and eternal life through the great mediator of all men, or to choose captivity and death according to the captivity and power of the devil. For he seeketh that all men might be miserable like unto himself. You miserable yet? And now, my sons, I would that you should look to the great mediator and hearken unto his great commandments and be faithful unto his words and choose eternal life according to the will of his Holy Spirit, and not choose eternal death according to the will of the flesh and the evil which is therein, which giveth the spirit of the devil power to captivate, to bring you down to hell, that he may reign over you in his kingdom. We don't want any of that, do we? No, I didn't think so. Page 435. This is the 17th chapter of Alma, and he's talking to his son Helaman here. And he's relating the story of when he was struck down, when he went about with the sons of Mosiah destroying the church. I read verse 8 through 20. And it came to pass that I fell to the earth, and it was for the space of 3 days and 3 nights that I could not open my mouth, neither had I the use of my limbs. And the angel spake more things unto me, which were heard by my brethren. But I did not hear them. For when I heard the words, "If thou wilt be destroyed of thyself, seek no more to destroy the church of God," I was struck with such great fear and amazement, lest perhaps I should be destroyed, that I fell to the earth, and I did hear no more. But I was racked with eternal torment, for my soul was harrowed up to the greatest degree, and racked with all my sins. Yea, I did remember all my sins and iniquities, for which I was tormented with the pains of hell. Yea, I saw that I had rebelled against God, and that I had not kept His holy commandments. Yea, I had murdered many of His children, or rather, led them away into destruction. Yea, and in fine, so great had been my iniquities, that the very thoughts of coming into the presence of my God did rack my soul with inexpressible horror. Oh, thought I, that I could be banished and become extinct, both soul and body, that I might not be brought to stand in the presence of my God to be judged of my deeds. And now for 3 days and 3 nights was I racked, even with the pains of a damned soul. And it came to pass that as I was thus racked with torment, while I was harrowed up by the memory of my many sins, behold, I remembered also to have heard my father prophesy unto the people concerning the coming of one Jesus Christ, a Son of God, to atone for the sins of the world. Now as my mind caught hold upon this thought, I cried within my soul, "O Jesus, thou Son of God, have mercy on me, who art in the gall of bitterness and art encircled about by the everlasting chains of death." And now behold, when I thought this, I could remember my pains no more. Yea, I was harrowed up by the memory of my many sins no more. And oh, what joy and what marvelous light I did behold. Yea, my soul was filled with joy as exceeding as was the pain. Yea, I say unto you, my son, that there could be nothing so exquisite and so bitter as were my pains. Yea, and again I say unto you, my son, that on the other hand, there can be nothing so exquisite and sweet as my joy. Yea, methought I saw, even as our father Lehi saw, God sitting on his throne, surrounded with numerous concourses of angels in the attitude of singing and praising their God. Yea, and my soul did long to be there. A man that had heard the word and he caught hold of what his father said, and so he reached out for it. And when he did that, he couldn't remember the pain anymore. I got one more and then I'll get you out of that, okay? Page 111. Doesn't take long for those chains to get heavy, does it? This is the second Nephi, the sixth chapter. I'll start at verse 89 and read to 92. This is Jacob speaking. It says, "O my beloved brethren, turn away from your sins. Shake off the chains of him that would bind you fast. Come unto that God which is the rock of your salvation. Prepare your souls for that glorious day when justice shall be administered unto the righteous, even the day of judgment, that ye may not shrink with awful fear, that ye may not remember your awful guilt and imperfectness, and be constrained to explain, 'Holy, holy are thy judgments, O Lord God Almighty.'" Let's go ahead and shake them chains off. Thank you. Hey, wait a minute. Do you want to put them back on again? You don't want to go back to where you came from? Okay, I just thought I'd ask. It says to turn away and shake off the chains that bind you down. And those chains are sin, and just like this is a mess, the things that you get into your life, for whatever reason, you get into them. And after a while, as it started out, it wasn't really too blurred up and messy up here. But as you go along and the sins keep coming and you just don't get out of it and you don't turn from your wicked ways and reach out to Jesus and ask Him to come into your life, it really gets to be a mess, doesn't it? I don't know, most of us here have probably been there in one way or another. Page 162. Doesn't look like we're going to be here very long this evening. This is 2 Nephi in the 13th chapter. And this whole chapter is talking about baptism. I'm going to start at verse 24 and read through 26. It says, "For the gate by which he should enter is repentance and baptism by water. And then cometh the remission of your sins by fire and by the Holy Ghost. And then are ye in the straight and narrow path which leads to eternal life. Yea, ye have entered in by the gate. Ye have done according to the commandments of the Father and the Son. And ye have received the Holy Ghost, which witnesses of the Father and the Son, unto the fulfilling of the promise which he hath made, that if ye entered in by the way, ye should receive." D.A., how'd it feel with them chains around you? Heavier and heavier. You didn't like it much, did you? Was it weighing you down? Probably got a little warm under that coat, didn't you? That wasn't the intent, but it worked out all right. It wasn't fun, was it? You didn't have joy doing it, did you? Okay. Thank you, though. I appreciate it. You know, Jesus came for a lot of reasons. The main one was as a Savior. It said He came to save us from our sins. He was a deliverer. He's going to deliver us if we follow His commandments. And one of those commandments is to be baptized for the remission of sins. That we can be set free. And I think that truth that it talks about in John, I think that truth is that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus came for you and me as individuals. He didn't come to be real showy. He didn't put Himself up on a high pedestal. As a matter of fact, He became a servant. At one time, He took off His clothes and put on a servant's garment. And He washed the disciples' feet. And He died on that cross for me and you. And it's hard for me to comprehend that somebody would do that out of love. But that's what it was done for, out of love for us. He made the atonement. Because Adam fell, sin came into the world. And because of the atonement of Jesus Christ, we have a way to get back into the presence of God. He redeemed us, which is He bought us back. And the gift is given freely. But if the gift's put out there and you don't take it, what good is it to you? I mean, if somebody was to give you a gift, say, "Here you go, Alvin," but if you didn't take it, what would that be like? If I was to give Alvin a gift, as God gave us a gift of His Son, and I didn't accept it, or he didn't accept it, I guess I should say, I'm getting turned around here. I guess I wouldn't feel very good about it. I'd wonder why. And sometimes I wonder if that's what God thinks when we don't accept His Son. I wonder if He says, why? When D.A. took off those chains, you felt free, didn't you? There's a song by the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir that I listen to quite a bit. And a couple of the verses is, this is how it feels to be free. And I got to thinking,
It feels that way when you're baptized and the chains come off and the weight of sin is gone. You feel free. And then there's another one. We get baptized for the remission of sins, the forgiveness of them. And it wipes the slate clean. And this is how it feels to know that I've been forgiven. When you're baptized up to that point, all that filthiness that you had built up is gone. If you'd go into baptism with no deceit, and God knows if you're trying to deceive Him or not, that's what it feels like to be free. That's what it feels like to me to know that I've been forgiven. If you'll bear with me just a little bit, I think I'll give a personal testimony. And then I'll be done. My life was like this blackboard was. No, I didn't do all those things that were up there, but I didn't have a place for Jesus in my life. I knew about Jesus. I'd been taught when I was in my youth. My mother took us to a Baptist church. It wasn't far from our home. And then when I was in the fourth grade, we moved out to the suburbs, and we didn't attend church anymore. And as I grew up, I got into things that I shouldn't have gotten into. Some of them that were up there, yeah, I was in. Some of them I probably still deal with. One of them would probably be pride. I didn't think I was a prideful man, but God points it out to me on occasions. But anyway, I got married and I had children, and they got to the point to where they were asking questions about God, and I didn't really know how to answer them. So Lana decided that they needed to be educated in that. So she started coming to this church. Then after a while, they started wondering why Dad didn't come, and they were wondering, why do I have to go to church if Dad doesn't go to church? Well, I think God was starting to soften my heart, because I thought, well, for them, I'll go to church. So I started coming to church. Didn't think I'd get too interested in it. Then Al Harris started having, well, I don't know if he'd had them before or not. I couldn't tell you. I wasn't here. But what was called baptism classes, actually it was a scripture study, but we started with baptism and then we ended up, I don't remember where, but we studied a whole lot of things. But he asked me one day if we'd be willing to attend. And I said, yeah. I thought Lana was going to faint. But she didn't. And we attended and I started learning. And God was still working on my heart. And one day I decided that I was going to read through the Book of Mormon, because I thought, well, I guess I ought to know what it says. I know some things out of the Bible, but I don't know much of anything out of the Book of Mormon. So I started reading it, and I read it from cover to cover. I don't remember how long it took. It didn't matter. I knew that it was just going to make it to the end. And I got about as far as King Benjamin's proclamation. Man, did those words hit home hard. So we decided to be baptized. Lana was ready way before I was, but she was waiting. So I called her up one day from Al's house after I went over and visited with him for a while and said, we're going to be baptized tonight. I'll come home and get you and we'll come back in. And we were baptized in the font over at the East Local, because this church wasn't finished yet. And I really didn't care a whole lot where we were baptized at. All I knew was is it was going to be that day. There was no question in my mind. Matter of fact, I almost woke Al up about 5 in the morning, because I'd been up most of the night reading. But I thought, I will give him a break. I'll call him about 7. But he said to come on over. After they had had a break in the solemn assemblies. And it's almost 12 years ago. It was March 30th, 1991. And we were baptized. Lana and myself. And after we went home that night, when I was all alone in our bedroom, we've got sliding doors on our closet that are mirrors, so you can stand in front of and primp yourself, I suppose. But anyway, I was standing there and I was recounting in my mind what had transpired that day. And man, I'm telling you, I was filled with so much joy that I just started crying and smiling from ear to ear. And it was great. It was the greatest feeling that I'd ever felt. It was better than any alcohol I'd ever drank. It was better than any drugs that I'd ever done. That's the best thing there is out there. I'm telling you from experience. You can't beat it. But you have to go into it in the right way. And I suppose everybody, well, I'm looking around. There's some that aren't baptized, but I think most of you have been. But it's hard for me to express the joy that I had. I can't find words to express it. And that's why I was hoping tonight that I could use a couple of examples of the chains of sin that bind you down, because it's heavy. It's a burden that you carry around. And you think you're all right, but you're not. And your life gets to be a mess like it was up here on the blackboard when I had all that road all over it. My life was out of control before I started studying and before I was baptized. And you know, I think about this thing, baptism for the remission of sins. You know, I think about the word remission, and I think, you know, when people have cancer and they go into remission, the cancer's not gone away right then, but it's a going away. I can't say that my sin was completely gone. Well, let me put this another way, maybe. I still had to work very hard at that point to stay away from sin. I still fell into it. But my heart was to the point that I was repentant. I was trying to change my lifestyle, and I had to give up the friends that I ran around with. Or at least I had to stay away from them. And to me, that was giving them up, because I couldn't go there anymore. I just couldn't handle it. I knew of a better way. Jesus Christ showed me a better way of life. He showed me what it was like to be free. He let me feel it in my heart. And so I know what it feels like to be bound down and have the eternal torment of hell. And if it's anything the way I felt at times, 100 times more than that, there's no way I want that in my life. But I'm telling you right now, I want that joy I felt that night, and I want it to last. And I want to be with God. That's where my hope's at. That's where my faith's at. Thank you, DA, for volunteering. And I hope I've come across tonight, and I hope the examples were good examples, so you can kind of get an idea of, if you haven't really been there, of what it feels like to be set free and what it feels like to know that you've been forgiven. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. For those of you who come in late and saw DA standing up here in chains, I think you're owed an explanation. We have a new policy here, and he was caught sleeping this morning in the service. Sorry I had to do that. The activities this week. Tomorrow there will be a funeral here at 1 p.m. at the church for our brother Leroy Wheaton. And the visitation will be from 12 noon to 1 p.m., and then the funeral will be at 1, and interment will be in Mound Grove Cemetery. Monday night, there will be a study class here. Prayer service is Wednesday at 7 p.m. The study class is also at 7 p.m. Friday, junior Choir at the Lawrence Home at 7 p.m. and senior choir at the Lawrence